Hugh Freeze gets some support from really an unlikely source.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after it on this Tuesday of the bye week after a loss to Vanderbilt. We're back at it, and we're going to have some fun today. Some unlikely support. You would think typically from former quarterbacks you would have a lot of support, but based off of some stuff that happened earlier this season, you would understand what I'm talking about, and I'll dive into that in just a second. We'll talk about what he said, what it means, and what's the disconnect. But before we get started, let's give a shout-out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double-up deposit bonus. Give them $100. They're going to give you another $100 back on top of it, all the way up to $1,000 on your very first deposit for you to do whatever you'd like to with. You can play any sport that you'd like. You can bet any sport you like, any line that you like, any way that you like to bet. They have it all. So check them out. Don't forget the coupon code. It's mybookie.ag. Typically, college quarterbacks are always, for the most part, very loyal to their head coach that they play for. Doesn't typically matter. They're just typically loyal, especially ones that are successful. And Bo Wallace obviously was one of the more successful college quarterbacks at Ole Miss in Ole Miss history, and definitely under Hugh Freeze. I think just recently, this past weekend, Jackson Dart broke a record that Bo Wallace set under Hugh Freeze. I think it was something like the all-time total offense record. Bo Wallace had that record that. You know, he came to Ole Miss. He was Hugh Freeze's first quarterback. He really was sort of the igniter to re-sparking that program to get to where they were before, you know, obviously the collapse that we all know about. He just had a ton of success under Hugh Freeze. And typically those guys are very loyal to their coach that they played for. But earlier this season, something's happened between those two. I got my ideas on what it is. I don't want to speculate on it because, honestly, I'd love to have Bo on the program and talk a lot about everything because just reading some of the tweets over the weekend, it's clear that he knows he can see inside of Hugh's mind, I feel like, better than most, and he can articulate it better than most. He can articulate it really well over Twitter. So I know he could obviously articulate it well in person. But regardless, there's some kind of friction there because at the beginning of the year, after the Cal game, if you remember, Bo really took issue with the way that Hugh handled the benching of Peyton Thorne and going to Hank and then going back to Peyton Thorne after the Arkansas game. He really took issue to it. He really had a problem with what he considered throwing players under the bus, said it happened to him, you know, a lot or whatever. So he could feel that and just really sort of ignited the Auburn fan base to be very negative towards him pretty much any time that he would say anything. So now it's become a game to him. Every week after every loss, he doesn't even have to really say anything. He can just put some laughing emojis out, and it's going to fire up the Auburn fan base, and they're going to say some ugly things, and then he's going to have some fun with it. But this past weekend, the tune sort of shifted. He did the same thing where it was sort of like a little troll, a subtle jab, another loss is what he said, and then some laughing faces, and it sort of ignited the fan base again, and there was some personal attacks, and then there were some guys that I think just really wanted to know what was going on. Like, what? Tell us, Bo. Okay, tell us what happened. Tell us what's happening. You know, what? you see it, you've played in it. Tell us what, tell us what's going on. So Bo speaks out, and what's crazy is over the next several exchanges, Bo seems to, I think, accidentally reinforce a lot of the things that, remember, Tyler Siski says about the offense. He seems to reinforce a lot of things about how well the offense typically works if it's executing correctly. He seems to reinforce a lot of the things that he was mad at Hugh about earlier from the beginning of the year. The throwing players under the bus. He seems to kind of lead to the point where either Peyton's not being taught it correctly, which we'll talk about in just a second, or he's just not able to execute it correctly, because when you do execute the system, good things happen. And he said a lot of things, but I want to go through several specific things that he said and talk about each one. So here's the first one. I played every game of my career but two at Ole Miss with my shoulder barely hanging on, and I was able to be successful because of Hugh's scheme. I know that. So I'm obviously rooting for his success. That is, to me, that speaks a lot towards Bo's self-recognition and understanding that, and it also speaks to Hugh's system in general, to understand that I was physically limited. I had, whether it was athletic ability, here it's talking about the condition of his shoulder, that it doesn't, I can point to my success coming from Hugh's system. I can point all, you know, my record that I had, everything that I had came because of that system. And I acknowledge that. And that's why, you know, I will always root for his success. And to me, that tells me it doesn't take necessarily a incredibly gifted athlete to be able to have success in this offense. It really doesn't. And Bo is case in point. I think he did some real, he was gritty. He made the right decisions, and he was able to, you know, put up a lot of really good numbers. Over 10,000 yards of offense in 3 years is really impressive. I mean, that's averaging over 3,000 yards a year. I mean, that's, and it's total offense. So, I mean, I'm sure there's some rushing yards in there as well. I think there's times where there's games where he threw a pass, threw a touchdown, ran a touchdown, and caught a touchdown. I mean, he did a lot of things in the system that only he could have done because of the system. It wasn't because he was just a super athlete, and that's what he and that's basically what he's saying here. And I think when you're looking at, you know, what the next quarterback needs to be, the quarterback next year, the quarterback from the portal, we talk about going to get the blockbuster guy. I don't know that it necessarily has to be a blockbuster guy. It's all about, to me, the fit and who can not be afraid to make tough decisions really quickly and not let not be distracted by the game, not be distracted by the situation. It's just play by play. You know, there's a to me, the system seems a lot like how a lot of times people teach how to think through a golf round, where it's like, you don't care, who cares about it? You got to par the next three holes to shoot whatever. It's all about this shot. And I think Bo talks about that a lot. We got to stop thinking about the next two plays when all we got to think about is right now. And I'll talk about that. He made another quote that talks about that in just a second. But let's keep going. The design of the offense – I'm sorry, this is a quote from him. Sorry, I'll go back. The design of the offense and what it's doing is really good stuff. You should never get caught in scheme. The quarterback just has to be right, make the right decision, and you can literally throw for 300 yards a game in this offense on all run game calls. This goes back to, you know, Tyler Siski talking about, you know, they were in the bowl game against Pitt, maybe, I believe, and they called the same play 20-something times in a row, and you just kind of kept going up and down the field because it's all decision-making. It's all about making the correct decision. He says you could throw for 300 yards a game on run calls because there's an answer for everything. Just sort of reinforces how the system works, how it's successful. And you're starting to see, if you watched the Monday Night Football game last night, the Chiefs offense is heavy, heavy RPO. And Pat Mahomes is obviously a freak of nature, but he executes it really well, and it makes it so incredibly tough to stop because there's typically an answer for everything. And you can call a simple run play that has some different attachments to it. And if you make the right decision, it's really tough to scheme it. It's really tough to out-scheme it because it's all based off reaction. It's not bad. So in other words, formation signals one thing, but the post snap is what triggers the rest. So you make a pre-snap call and then you got to make a post snap call. And so there's all this thought that, oh, the RPO is old, the RPO is this, the RPO is that. But in reality, it's impossible to be old because you can't do things. It's all based off of your reaction. So a lot of the stuff is based off of the defensive reaction. So it's hard to scheme post snap to create something to create the quarterback to make another decision. So that's where, that's why I like this, because he basically says, you know, if you could throw for 300 yards if you make the right decision. And that's all based off run calls. We hadn't even called a pass yet. Again, that kind of reinforces to me there's some kind of disconnect. And we're going to get to what that is in just a second. Keep going. There's two more quotes, and we're going to go through those in just a second. But before we do that, I want to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. We talk about retirement. We talk about savings. I'm sure everybody has something that they're working on, something that they've been, throwing into a piggy bank. But how do you know? Like, you work so hard to put that money away. The last thing you want to do is throw some of it away in fees you shouldn't be paying, or doing simple things that can protect that money that you've worked so hard for from the IRS. Or, hey, you're growing at X percent. You could be growing at this percentage. That's even more. In other words, optimizing what you're already doing. Ford Stokes is the guy to help you take advantage of that. Go to retirementresults.com/plan and give Ford a shout, and just have him look over it. It's only it's a $1,500 value that you get for absolutely nothing. And you'll make a great friend at the same time. So tell him War Eagle, tell him we sent you. That's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Let's keep going. There's a couple more quotes and then we'll talk about, we've said all this. Now what's the issue? I threw for 10,000 yards after I got injured and couldn't throw it 30 yards because I didn't miss on this stuff. In other words, I was so physically limited, I couldn't throw the ball beyond 30, 40 yards. But I still threw for 10,000 yards because I knew this stuff back and forth. I knew the decisions that I was supposed to make. I knew the rules. I knew what I was supposed to do. Just kind of further reinforcing how good the system works when it's being executed correctly, and that you don't have to be a big guy that's 6'6", 250 pounds and throws it 70 yards. You can be Bo Wallace and not even be able to throw it beyond 30, 40 yards. But if you're tough, gritty, and you can make the right decisions, you can throw for 10,000 yards. And then this is the most important thing, okay? The offense that we talk about when I was talking about earlier, playing one play at a time and not thinking about, oh gosh, we can't get in third and long, or oh gosh, we got to do this now. We got to have a good drive here because they're going to get the ball back, blah, 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 blah. No, it's just, okay, I got one play. Let's handle this one play. And he says, once you get the call, literally say to yourself, okay, how do I make this one single individual play successful? And what is that success for yards? So the goal when he would go to the line and the way he was taught was success is 4 yards. If you have a bunch of 4 yards plays, obviously every three plays, that's a first down. And obviously 4 yards is going to be, you know, sometimes it'll be eight, sometimes it'll be 15. But if the goal is just how can we get 4 yards out of this play? And we think about that on an individual level every single time, that's the mindset we have that changes everything. And that goes back to, you know, that goes back to some things, you know, it goes back to the Georgia game in the 4th and 1, where you don't need 8 or 10 yards. You just need a couple. And in the mindset of, we got to just try to get 4 yards on this play. That's the goal. And that's the decision. Which decision can I make here based off of what the defense has given me to get 4 yards? That seems to be the goal. That seems to be sort of the message out of this offense. And I'm wondering, are we getting too far ahead of ourselves? Are we getting too far ahead of ourselves, and we're not taking each play on an individual basis and saying, let's get 4 yards. Let's get 4 yards every single time. Boom, 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 boom. Decision, here's 4 yards. Boom, 8 yards. And then you just kind of methodically move your way down the field instead of trying to get it all in one play, or, you know, put pressure on yourself to where you're not getting ahead of the chains. I think that's huge. I think that's an insight that we haven't really heard. We're thinking big play, big play, big play. But the philosophy of this offense is, how do we get 4 yards? And I think that's something that's very, 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 very interesting. It's a little bit sort of a perspective changing, perspective shift on how you view things. So what's the disconnect? Okay. You said all that, Kyle, you said all that stuff. Bo said all that stuff. It makes sense. You know, if you make the right decision, things happen. We've talked about that forever. So what's the disconnect? You know, you go from, you have every single quarterback that's had success, and then all of a sudden you get to Auburn and you can't do it anymore. What's the disconnect? And to be quite frank, I'm not 1,000% sure. There could be a number of different things. One thing Bo said is that, you know, someone asked him, is it Hugh's not teaching it correctly or whatever? And he said, you know, Hugh is the big picture scheme guy typically. And then his coach that helped him with that mindset was Dan Werner. And he said, basically a lot of his, you know, credit of everything goes to Dan Werner, the quarterback's coach. So Auburn has Ken Austin, and you're like, well, maybe that's the disconnect. But then you look at what Ken Austin did, and he was the offensive coordinator at Liberty, and it literally did not matter who the quarterback was. The very first year they went there, dude threw for a ton of yards. Then you had Malik. Malik did really well. And then you had the year that he got hired at Auburn, where he beat BYU and Arkansas on like second and third string quarterbacks. It didn't matter. It didn't matter who it was. So it seems like it's tough to say it's Ken Austin's fault, because, hey, you had a wide open faucet as far as just success. And then all of a sudden you get to Auburn and it's shut off completely. Like immediately you start having issues. I understand the Phillip Montgomery, deal, and Kent was off the field at that point in time. And then you get to where Kent's an on the field coach, and now he's the quarterback's coach 100%. And you're still having issues. So could it be that there's an issue there at quarterback coach? It very well could be. But again, it's hard to say that's the problem. It's hard to say it's the system, number one, because again, it works like crazy all the way up until it gets to Auburn. It's hard to say it's the quarterback's coach because again, it worked all the way up till you get to Auburn. What's the issue? And then I think inadvertently, Bo kind of told you what the problem was. And somebody asked him, you know, well, what do we do? How do you get this fixed? And he says, if you drop a Yellowwood bag on a portal, drop a Yellowwood bag on a portal quarterback, and y'all are going to be just fine. And that kind of brings it all the way back full circle. and that's what's unfortunate, because I obviously get exhausted on banging on the same thing every single week, after every single loss. And I don't like to be that guy. But if you really diagnose and you look at the whole picture, and it doesn't, and I'm not necessarily talking about just one person. It's just the quarterback situation for 2024 is just one that is not, they're just not able to, seems like, to get it done. And even Bo, who what's funny was on the train of supporting the quarterbacks and throw the coaching staff under the bus earlier in the year, now seems to be, when you really get him talking and you really get him explaining everything, it seems like it's flip-flop. Now, I could be completely misreading that, and I'd love to have him on to explain in person, and I'm trying to do that because I think it would be a fun show. But it's there is a disconnect, okay? There is a disconnect right now because the system works. The people that have installed the system have had success all the way up until they got to Auburn. And so there's some kind of disconnect there. And I think that's going to be the key to figuring out how Hugh has a successful career, a career that lasts longer than one more season at Auburn. That's going to be the key. What is that disconnect and how do we fix it? Is it just simply quarterback? Is it staff around the quarterback? We got to figure that out. A lot of interesting stuff that Bo said once he really got off of the troll deal and was really explaining the offense. I think he has a really good way of articulating it, and I think it made a lot of sense to a lot of people. So I really encourage everybody to go follow him on Twitter and see if you can find the thread and go back and read everything, because if you can wade through the jabs back and forth, it's very insightful stuff. So what's the disconnect? That's the key. We got to figure out the disconnect, and that's got to be fixed, or you're going to have a very, very short tenure, in my opinion, of Hugh Freeze, and all of the sort of building off the field and building the roster will kind of go by the wayside. So let's see what happens. Hopefully they can get something figured out over this week, this next 2 weeks. I don't expect just like this huge offensive revelation over the last three games, but hopefully we can figure out how to, remedy that disconnect and get back to, let's execute this thing one play at a time. Let's figure out how we get 4 yards, 4 yards at a time. Boom, 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 boom. And I'd love it to be more of the RPO stuff than trying to call the perfect play or just, because that to me is where the offense bogs down, is when it's not freely, the quarterback making the decisions and stuff like that, and you're trying to take them away from being able to make mistakes. That to me is where the offense bogs down completely and it becomes predictable and just not a great product. So let's see what happens. Guys, I really appreciate you listening. Hope you enjoyed this. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. You can follow me on Twitter at @_Charlie_5. You know we're going to be back every single day this week. So have a great week, and we'll talk again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.